North Korea has always represented a potential threat to security in Asia, but in 2017, the prospect of open conflict seemed much closer. Now the US Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is offering Pyongyang something it's been demanding for years, direct negotiations with the US. But in exchange, Secretary Tillerson wants an end to the missile launches and nuclear tests that have had the entire region on edge all year. Professor Andrew O'Neill is an expert in North Korea at Griffith University. Tonight he joins us from Europe. Welcome back to RN Drive.
Hi, Patricia.
So Rex Tillerson says these are talks without preconditions, but only after a period of quiet. That sounds like a lot of precondition.
Well, on one level it does. I mean, this is quite a significant move by the United States, and Secretary Tillerson's position would not have gone forward publicly without the President's support. So it represents a significant shift on the part of the Trump administration. And, you know, if we really think through what Tillerson is saying about the period of quiet, quote-unquote, I think what he's basically saying is that it's going to be incredibly difficult for any US administration to go into talks with North Korea if they're firing off missiles of any kind, but particularly ICBMs that can reach the US, and also undertaking any nuclear tests. So essentially, I think that's kind of code for give the administration a little bit of political room for the maneuver domestically, and we can engage in talks. But as I say, I mean, this is quite a significant shift on the part of the United States. We really have to go right back to the early days of the Obama administration to think of a period where the US is saying that they can go into talks with Pyongyang minus any preconditions.
Has America indicated how long this period of quiet would need to be?
Oh, look, nothing on the public record as such, but I think we can be pretty sure the Americans have been dialing into their into counterparts in Pyongyang, probably certainly through back-channel communications, possibly through the Chinese, and there now seems to be a greater degree of coordination between Washington and Beijing in dealing with Pyongyang, and that I think that's a good thing. I think the Americans are probably saying, look, you know, no more tests for a couple of months. That'll give us some breathing space domestically. But it will also reassure allies like Japan, who actually will probably be feeling a little uncomfortable with the US policy shift. The South Koreans will be pretty happy about this, but the Japanese not so much. So I think the Americans are playing a fairly intense diplomatic game at the moment, signalling to North Korea, but also trying to signal to allies that they're not going to go into this if the North Koreans are still firing off missiles and undertaking tests in the region.
It's no secret, really, that Pyongyang has always wanted direct negotiations with the US. Do they still? And can you see them agreeing to this?
Look, I think for Pyongyang, direct one-on-one, around the table, equal on equal, or as they see it, equal on equal negotiations with Washington is the holy grail. So you look at North Korea's modus operandi going right back to Kim Il-sung through to the current day Kim Jong-un, and it's pretty clear that they regard a nuclear and long-range missile program as essentially a ticket of entry into bilateral talks with the US on a one-on-one level. They see that as an important achievement in terms of recognising Pyongyang as they see it as an equal, but actually also giving them some bargaining manoeuvre in negotiations with Washington. I don't think anyone thinks for a minute they're going to bargain away their nuclear missile programs, but the North Koreans will be thinking this will give them a lot more leverage, a lot more traction in terms of getting what they want from the Americans in the region. And that will be things like the Americans dialing back commitments to joint exercises with South Korea. It will be treating North Korea more as an equal. It will be a whole range of other issues the North Koreans no doubt have in their back pocket when they go into these negotiations.
One of the arguments against direct negotiations has been, you know, the issue around rewarding bad behaviour. And I know there hasn't always been unity between the Secretary of State and President Trump around all of this. Does it reward bad behaviour, and how do they line up on this?
Look, I think Donald Trump has actually been all over the shop when it comes to a coherent policy approach to North Korea. I think what we've seen is a swinging of a pendulum from fairly dramatic examples of a passive approach. I'll sit down and have a hamburger with Kim Jong-un, right through to aggressive approaches and really dialing up, I think, a lot of the rhetoric around military intervention earlier this year. And that's when the Chinese, by the way, got extremely concerned and really started to act in putting pressure on the North Koreans. Look, I think Tillerson has actually played a long game so far in the administration. I think one of his areas where he has put a lot of effort and focus into has been North Korea. The State Department has primary carriage for North Korea policy, which I think is a good thing in terms of bringing some fairly experienced hands, Asia hands, into that mix. So I think for Tillerson, this is actually a significant victory in the administration. Some of the hardliners won't be happy with this, but I think Trump essentially, if Tillerson has been able to convince him that there's a chance for a diplomatic success here, I think he may well have persuaded Trump that this is actually in his own personal interest as possibly pulling off a political victory.
And I suppose North Korea's nuclear capabilities became a lot more advanced this year. That's been a dominant story this year. Has the world missed its chance to contain it?
Look, I don't think so. I think containment is still possible. I think essentially the international community lost an opportunity to disarm North Korea. I think the military window has well and truly shut. That probably shut sometime in the mid to late 1990s. I think the diplomatic window has almost certainly shut on denuclearising North Korea. I think any negotiations between the US and North Korea will be about trying to set the rules of the game for how North Korea conducts itself as a nuclear power. The United States will never admit that publicly, certainly not under this administration, that they're dealing with North Korea as a nuclear armed state. But the reality is that will now set the tone for negotiations. And, you know, the takeout for a lot of people internationally will be that, you know, if you stand firm, if you make significant sacrifices in pursuit of a nuclear program against all odds, against UN Security Council resolutions, eventually you will be recognised as a nuclear armed state. So I think, yes, it's a good thing the Americans are sitting down with the North Koreans and negotiating, or at least putting on the table they're willing to do that without any preconditions. On the other hand, it doesn't send a great signal to the rest of the international community about what proliferators can expect by way of punishment.
Thank you so much for your time, Andrew.
Thanks, Patricia.
Professor Andrew O'Neill is an expert in North Korea at Griffith University, and this is RN Drive.